We've been through the husband's responsibility. We'll review it in a minute, but the husband's responsibilities to love and to lead his wife. And my wife is the greatest blessing, one of the greatest blessings from God. Her love is a gift that I am thankful for every day. I'm so thankful for my wife. Proverbs 31:10-12 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he hath no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." I want to tell you one on me before we actually get into the nitty-gritty of the message today. Early in our marriage, I worked for Sears and Roebuck and Company. I worked in the credit and collection department. And then I got a discount on things from Sears. And so we purchased a do-it-yourself Sears cabinet. You can see that cabinet. That sits today. It's a reminder to me. It sits today at the bottom of our stairway when you come in our door. If you ever come in our door, look to the right, downstairs, you'll see the Sears cabinet. But here was the deal. I got my toolbox out, and I tore open the box and just started laying out the pieces, and I began to assemble it. And my wife, we hadn't been married a real long time, says, "Don't you think we should read the directions first?" Well, I told her it looked simple enough. And it did look simple enough. I was throwing things together. I mean, when I graduated from high school, my dad got me this real nice Craftsman tool set, and I've followed through and done the same thing for my grandsons. Each one of the grandsons graduates gets a real nice Craftsman tool set with all the things that are in there. The girls get a sewing machine. So you hear that, girl, okay? Okay. But anyhow. And so, you know, I got my Craftsman tool. I'm smelling like a rose, I'm thinking, you know. But the last shelf would not fit in. It didn't matter how I held my tongue. It didn't matter how I tried to flex it to get it in there. It did not go in. Linda was right. But you know what? She passed up her golden opportunity to gloat and say, "I told you so." You know what she did? She stuck right with me there. I tore it all apart, and she read the directions while I assembled it and found out that piece went in right at the first. Since then, we have worked together following the directions. It turns out to be better that way. Praise the Lord for her. Well, review time. We've already looked at God's blueprint for married couples. It's God's design that each couple leave their parents, cleave to each other, and become intimately involved or one flesh. The second thing we looked at was God's blueprint for husbands, is that the husband is to love his own wife and lead her. Today, God's blueprint for wives is God's design and will for each wife to submit and reverence her own husband and to assist and aid and complete him. And so that's what our key is today. As we just said, she's to submit and to reverence her husband, and then she is to assist, aid, and complete her husband. So let's look at the first one. It's God's will for every wife that she submit and reverence her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24 and 33, it says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as even as himself, it says to the men, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's look at the words. The word submit in verse 22 and subject in verse 24 is the same Greek word, even though different English words. It's hupotasso. And hupotasso is a military term. It means to arrange under. It means to subordinate. It means to put. It means to be subject. Be subject to, put in subjection, to subject oneself, to obey, to submit to one's control, to yield to one's dominance, or to yield to one's admonition or advice, and finally to obey or be subject. The Greek word translated submit, as I mentioned, is a military term that means arrange troop in divisions in a military fashion under the commander or the leader. Applying it to a non-military term, it is a voluntary attitude of cooperation, obeying or giving in, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. A godly wife chooses to submit. It is not the husband's job to force her to submit. Now, I know this is not popular in the day and age in which we live. I also know that that's the reason there's so much trouble in marriages today, because husbands aren't loving their wives and leading their wives, and wives are not submitting to their husbands and reverencing their husbands and helping their husbands be successful. So I'm taking you back to the original marriage manual. I'm taking you back to the Word of God. And as I mentioned, we have books in the back there that we're following chapter by chapter. This is chapter 3 that we are going in. And so even if you're not married, I want you to take note of these things. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. It says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, that's very interesting. I remember in times past, we had a young couple who was coming to my previous church, and every time he tried to talk or say something, his wife was always correcting him, was always belittling him, always cutting him down, and finally, there was some major issues in the marriage, and I got together and talked with him and said, "You know, it's very clear what one of the problems is. One of the problems is you're not reverencing your husband. You're belittling him in public, and you're making him look like the fool. You guys need to talk things out privately, but you don't want to cut him down in public and make him look the fool." But let's look at the English word reverence. You'll be surprised what the English word reverence is. It is the word phobio. That's where we get our word phobia, and it means to fear, to be afraid, to treat with deference or reverential obedience. Now, some of you are thinking, are you saying that a wife should be afraid of her husband? Well, perfect love casts out fear, we do know that, but here's what is being talked about here. A wife should continually treat her husband with deference and reverential obedience. Indeed, she should be fearful not to submit to him, for as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Simply stated, every wife will give account to Christ of how she submitted to her husband. This is why she should be afraid not to obey him, because she will have to give account to Christ. I do find it interesting what the early translations, how the early translations translate that. John Wycliffe in 1380 said the wife dread her husband. 1534 Tyndale says, it says, "And let the wife see that she fear her husband." The Geneva Bible says, "Let the wife see that she fear her husband." And the King James says, "The wife see that she should reverence her husband." Other related verses, Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as is fit," and the word fit means proper, "as is fit or proper in the Lord." Here's what we have in Titus chapter 2, and then in verse 3 and 4, "that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Here's an interesting passage of Scripture, and we've talked about it a little bit before. We'll talk about it a little bit more this morning. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands." And look at the context. "If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the behavior of the wives. While they," the husbands, "behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of the gold, and the putting on of apparel." And then the next verse, verse 4 through 6, "but let it be the hidden man," the hidden spirit of the heart, "in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." What should a Christian wife do if her husband is unsaved? What should a Christian wife do if her husband is a Christian but out of fellowship with God? Well, that's the question. Number one, she should obey her husband with a right spirit unless he tells you to do something that is sinful and against the Bible. And we'll come to that a little bit later. 1 Peter 3, verse 4 describes the spirit of submission that God expects from a Christian wife. It says this, it says, "Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." So what do those words mean? The word meek is a translation of a Greek word which means not easily provoked or irritated. So the wife is not easily provoked or irritated. It describes a person who holds back their anger when under harassment or under attack or under pressure. The word quiet is a very interesting word, husekios, which actually comes from the root word keeping one's seat. Now, what does it mean, keeping one's seat? It's talking about a person who is cool, calm, tranquil, and does not throw a fit or throw a disturbance. The wife is cool and calm. She's not up and she's not yelling. She's not screaming and quarreling. No, she has a quiet spirit. She's seated. She's calm. She deals with the issue that is there. So what's the application? Through the 45, 46 years of ministry, some women resist their husbands to the last straw. They fight their husbands tooth and nail, trying to get their own way. And woe be to the husband that will not yield. The wife will pout and pitch a fit and will withhold marital privileges just in trying to get their own way. However, godly women don't behave that way. She is meek and quiet. That is to say, she doesn't become angry and she remains calm. Now, here's a tough one to wrap your head around, if you would, but I'm just sharing what the scriptures say to you. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him, what? Lord. Whose daughters are ye, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Peter closed this section by pointing to Sarah as an example of a godly submissive wife. Christian wives today would probably, and this is Warren Wiersbe's quote, Christian wives today would probably embarrass their husbands if they called them Lord, but their attitude ought to be such that they could call them Lord and people would believe it. All that is saying is it's very clear that the husband is the head of the family. That's what Wiersbe is saying. The believing wife who submits to Christ and to her husband and who cultivates a meek and a quiet spirit will never have to be afraid. The fear in this verse means terror. God will watch over her even when her unsaved mate creates problems and difficulties for her. It says, as long as the believing wives are doing good, Wiersbe goes on to say, they need not be afraid of any sudden terror on the account of which unbelieving husbands might extract from them. Henry Alfred, in his commentary, says, as long as the believing wives are doing good, they need not be afraid of any sudden terror on the account of unbelieving husbands, or for that matter, Christian husbands who are living out of fellowship with God. They don't need to have any sudden terror of what unbelieving husbands may extract from them. Note, if a husband directs his wife to do something that the Bible forbids, now you see that's in red. Please listen, ladies. If a husband directs his wife to do something that the Bible forbids, such as lying, stealing, participating in sexual activities outside the marriage bond, you could name a lot of things. Acts 5:29 applies. It always applies. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, here's the part that I really wanted to get to because some men are really messed up in this part. What submission does not mean? What submission does not mean? Submission does not mean the wife becomes a slave. My wife is sitting here on an auction block where they auction slaves in Fredericksburg, Virginia. This was in pre-Civil War days, and then they would put the slave up on this block and people would pay the price and buy the slave. I did not buy my wife. I do not own my wife. She is not my slave. Let's look at the definition of a slave. A person who is owned by and absolutely subject to another man, being as by capture, purchase, or birth. We can read about slavery in the Bible. Philemon, you read the book of Philemon and you'll find out about Onesimus and all that sort of things. A wife is not a slave. The dictionary definition of his wife, the lawful consort or companion of a man, a woman who is united to a man in lawful bond of marriage. Your wife is a cherished companion. She's not your slave. She's not your slave. The husband does not own his wife. The wife is not her husband's possession. She is his companion. She is his completer. She is his complement. She is his helper. She is his assistant. Any husband who treats his wife as his property or as a slave is in trouble with God. Husbands, we are to love and to cherish our wives. Ephesians 5:25, 31, 33, 1 Peter 3, 7. And I want to look specifically, since we've looked at the Ephesians passages, I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Now look at this, that your prayers be not hindered. If you do not honor your wife, and we'll talk about what the word honor means in just a moment. It isn't what I say, but here's what the book says. It says that your prayers be not what? Hindered. Hindered. You treat your wife right. Don't treat her as a slave. Otherwise, your prayers are hindered. Your prayers are hindered. And that's a serious thing. So let's look at the word honor. It's time in the Greek, not that that matters, but for my Greek students, you'll recognize that. And here's what the word time or honor means. Precious, treasured, highly esteemed. Indeed, your wife is to be treated by you as precious, treasured, and highly esteemed. And the men are going to say, well, what if she doesn't act like it? Well, two wrongs never make a right. So you should, whether your wife is behaving like she should or not, you should still treat her as precious and treasured and highly esteemed. A husband is to make it obvious to his wife that she is cherished, beloved, and precious to him. Not to get in a great deal on our personal life, but early on Sunday mornings, I get through and I go through my Sunday school lesson. I go through my morning service stuff. I go through my evening service. By the way, Moses in the wilderness, in the backside of the desert. Moses and Midian is tonight's message. But so my wife always comes down when she's ready and give her a hug and a kiss. And that's always a very pleasant time for me in the morning. It sets my day because I've been praying about the message, going over the stuff, and it's a blessing for my wife, just that little moment of intimacy that we have down there. So the husband is to make it obvious. How do you make it obvious? Let's make it real personal. How are you making it obvious to your wife that you cherish her? How are you making it obvious to your wife that she is precious? Well, I told her 2 months ago I loved her. That's not going to cut it. No. I'm talking about current. Your wife needs the security of knowing that you care about her. And I know, I understand, I see it all the time, where over the years they build up a brick wall between themselves, and kind of the husband's off doing his own thing and the wife's off doing their own thing, and they all have their book of hurts, they all have their they're bitter, they all have their book of bitterness. Man, break down that wall. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ forgave you. Can you imagine if God kept a book of my sins or your sins and held it against us? No. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The effectiveness of a man's prayers. This is sobering. The effectiveness of a man's prayers are tied to how he treats his wife. It's not what I said, it's what the book says. Submission does not mean that the wife becomes a slave. We saw that. Submission does not mean that the wife is inferior to her husband. 1 Peter 3:7 says they are heirs together of the grace of life. The previous 3:7 says, dwell with them according to knowledge. The only way you're going to get to know what your wife's thinking about, what makes her tick, is you're going to have to spend time talking with her. You're going to have to spend time sharing with her. You're going to have to spend time, if you have children, talking about the needs of the family, rearing your family, and all those things. But then remember, I remember when I was a military chaplain. I never felt inferior to my commander, but yet I wasn't the commander. So when the commander and we talked about certain things, what I did was, if you ask me to express my opinion, I expressed my opinion. And then when the commander made his decision, I said, yes, sir. And I went and carried out that decision. That didn't make me inferior. And the wife, guys, your wife is not inferior. Most of you know that. But here's what it says, you're heirs together of the grace of life. Don't forget the ground is level at the cross. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Your wife can go to the Lord on her own. Your wife, the ground is level at the cross. Submission does not mean that the wife never opens her mouth or never has an opinion or never gives advice. You can call that a meek and quiet spirit refers to a woman who is cool, calm, and collected. You will recall, it should say not call, you will recall that a meek and quiet spirit reflects or refers to the woman who is cool, calm, and collected. That is under control, even when she is under pressure. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 31:26 kind of tools this. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. Submission does not mean the wife becomes a wallflower who never uses her gifts or her abilities. Even a quick reading of Proverbs chapter 31, 10 through 31, you can read that on your own, shows that this virtuous wife made full use of her talents and her gifts that the Lord gave her. So she doesn't sit there as a wallflower, not at all. See, God has a clear purpose in submission. God has chosen that the wife be in a support role in the home, not in the headship or the leadership role in the home. Way too many wives. And I'm not necessarily blaming the wives, because I think a lot of it has to do with the husband, but way too many wives are in charge. They run the things. It's the husband who is to be the head of the wife. But God has chosen that the wife should be in a support role in the home and not in the leadership role. And here's what happens. Submission frees the wife to function within the parameters of her husband's direction. My wife will often ask me, do you have some priorities that you would like me to accomplish today? We try and talk over our day after our devotion time in the morning together so that we can go on those things. Submission brings stability into the home. You don't have a two-headed monster. You don't have a two-headed monster. We are going to start here next week. We're going to look at what submission does mean starting next week here. But I do want to close off with this. in the power of the flesh, it is not possible for the wife to properly submit to her husband. You need to be able to have the Holy Spirit in your life, because it is not common to want to be the submissive wife, particularly in this culture of women's liberation. I can tell you there are some who have heard messages by me on this topic and who have read some of my stuff before. And I've gotten emails that said, well, the Apostle Paul and you, you're bigots and you hate women. No, I don't. I love that woman right there. And just because the Bible runs contrary to society, if society and the Bible conflict, what is right? The Bible. The Bible is right. So here's the whole point. Husbands, for you to be the proper husband that you need to be, and wives, for you to be the proper wife that you need to be, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Because once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know what happens? As you yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians 5 and verse 22 tells you what happens. You begin to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things there. The great problem with our society is that they're following Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. I can just tell you, 50-50 marriages don't work. 50-50 marriages don't work. Somebody has to have the final say. Additionally, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can believe it or not believe it, but I'm going to stand on the Bible: the wicked shall be turned into hell. Some people say, well, God's so mean because he sends people to hell. Wait a minute. You got that all wrong. God saw that we were sinners and we were in big trouble. And you know what he did? He prepared a life preserver for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If anybody goes to hell, it'll be because they went to hell over the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Christ died on the cross of Calvary to purchase my pardon and your pardon and everybody's pardon. But now, as I've said so many times before, that a pardon is not a pardon. It's not valid unless you receive it. You personally have to receive it. Nobody else can receive it for you. It's something that you have to do. And how do you receive it? Well, number one, you admit that you're a sinner. Number two, you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and he died for your sins and he rose again from the dead. Number three, you call upon his name, you pray, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, forgive your sins, and save your soul. It's really not complicated whatsoever. It's something that you can do right now while you are here. So as Michael comes, I'd like to have...